Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warwick County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
State, welcome back to Radio Rehab. We are always excited to be here and talk about an issue that we know affects the people we love and care about, which is drugs and alcohol and ways that we can get better and get clean and sober. Today, Shatika is here to talk to us about herself and her life and the things that have shaped her. She is presently the program director at the Vandenberg County Substance Abuse Council, and that's a huge council that has arms in just about every area of prevention and young and old, trying to help educate the community about the drug and alcohol issue here. So I've known her ever since she was at Castle High School, so I'm glad to have her here. Hi, Shatika.
Hi, Lisa.
Thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So just tell us a little about you, where you're from, and a little about you.
I was born in Nashville, Tennessee, and we moved here when I was 5 years old. And for most of my upbringing, I lived in Newburgh, Indiana, and I have 4 brothers, no sisters.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, one older brother and then 3 younger.
You were the only girl?
The only girl.
Oh, my. So, you got real boot camp training growing up.
I sure did. I attended Castle High School, awesome. Graduated from Castle High School in 2001, and had plans to go on to Miami to attend college there.
At Miami, Florida?
Miami, Florida.
Woo, getting far away from Evansville.
I sure was, and I wanted to enjoy the sun, the beach,
yes.
And all of that. So I was tired of the weather here.
Yeah.
You wait a day and see how it is, but
yeah.
I knew if I was living somewhere that was warm, I could enjoy, you know, being outside.
Sure.
So, but my plans were I wanted to be a plastic surgeon.
Wow.
Plastic surgeon, yes. Because a lot of my friends in high school would complain about their faces,
yeah.
their noses, or their lips, or their cheeks, or something. So I figured I could fix them, yes.
Oh, my. So. What a goal. Yeah, that's
yes.
a good field to be in now.
Yes,
plastic
it sure
surgeon.
Is.
Ooh. You're so. Never on call? Or if so, it's not like the other surgeons.
Yes, yes.
So what happened?
Had some change of events in my life. I got pregnant right out of high school.
Kind of hard to go to college when you're pregnant, I guess.
Yes, and away from home, no family in Florida. So I just decided to stay here in Evansville with my family so that
sure.
I could raise my daughter around my family.
So that just changed your whole course, huh?
It really did.
Wow.
It really did.
At 18, then, you stayed here and had the baby.
Yes.
So, what's her name?
Her name is Trinity.
Trinity. Wow. So, you became a mom. What's that like at 18?
Very scary.
Yeah.
To know that you are responsible for another human being's life just puts another perspective on things. You have to watch what you do, what you say, how you live, because you've got someone else watching you at all times. You've got to be as responsible as possible. You have to make sure that, you know, not only take care of yourself, but that person, when you eat, they have to eat as well. You know, dealing with a baby, you have different issues. They can't talk to you, so you have to be responsive as a parent if they're crying. You've got to be attentive to their needs when they're
24/7.
Sick. 24/7.
So at 18, you had just spent all your life working your little tuchus off to get through high school.
Yes.
Off to college. You get pregnant.
Yes.
And then you never had a chance to have that adolescence, huh?
No.
Goodness.
No.
Well, thank God you took the parenting role that seriously.
Yes. Because
a lot of 18-year-olds don't, do they? They still want they a don't. Party.
And I was rather mature.
You were
for
mature.
My age, yes.
Yeah.
So, and then I had little brothers as well, so I knew somewhat of how to take care of infants and toddlers, mm-hmm. But to have one my own that you could never give to someone else,
right?
That you had all the time, that, you know, that was a little different.
Yeah.
So,
and you don't have to answer this, but was there drinking or drug use for you in those years through college or through high school?
Through high school, yes. I would say it started when I changed friends.
Hmm. I was from what kind of friends to what kind?
I was very active in high school, different clubs, different activities, after school curricular activities, mm-hmm. things like that. And so when I changed the friends from those that were engaged in those activities to the ones that weren't, that's when some of the behavior started to change, and some of the activities that I took part in, that changed as well. And that's when I started experimenting with alcohol and marijuana.
Wow. So who kids associate with really shapes their...
Most definitely. Most definitely. Because if you have friends that are not drinking, that are not smoking marijuana or doing drugs, then you seem odd. You seem like the oddball out in mm-hmm. that group of friends. And so more times than not, a person will not engage in those activities if their friends are not doing it, and then they don't condone it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
you started shifting the peer group.
The peer group definitely shifted.
And then your behavior followed.
Yes.
Well, I just got to ask you, because a lot of girls that have come on here said it was a boy. They were attracted to a boy that was in the bad boy or that was just into those kinds of things. For you, was it a guy you were attracted to or just
the
whole group?
No, it was the whole group, and it was a group of us girls.
Huh. That all just thought partying's the way to go.
Yes.
So could anybody have seen that or done anything different for you at that point in your life? Or do you think most kids are just doomed for that course?
I don't think that it's really anything anyone could have done, mm-hmm. and I don't think it was even because I was experiencing problems at home, or if, you know, I was having academic problems because my grades were fine, and I really didn't have any major
excuse.
I didn't have any excuses.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, a group of us.
Wow.
We were
just there.
We were just experimenting and.
So you were a functional teenager. We talk to adults that are in their addiction functional. They can still work and provide.
Mm-hmm.
You were a functional teenager. You were involved
yes.
in school.
Involved in school,
huh.
Still doing activities. We would have fun on the weekends.
Did anybody know you were drinking?
I'm not sure.
Besides your friends, adults? Probably
I'm
not
sure. I don't know. If my mom knew, she never said anything.
Mm-hmm. Because you were looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your drinking had anything to do with you ending up having a baby?
I do, because most of the times when you are impaired from drugs or alcohol, you don't make the best decisions. And I definitely do believe that was
a factor
in it. And it is a proven fact that you do engage in risky behaviors, such as unprotected sex and things like that. When you are impaired.
Yes. And how do you talk to teenagers about that? Because when you're impaired, you're impaired. You're not listening.
And a lot of times you don't remember. I mean, there are times I know that we had speakers that, you know, would talk about that at school.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in those situations, you don't think about, you know, protecting yourself. You don't think about, you know, making sure you have a designated driver. You know, like you said, when you're impaired, you're impaired. And
yeah,
you have a loss of judgment. And so it's very hard to make those critical decisions.
And when you're functional, you don't think that's going to happen to you. And you're so far off the radar.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things, too. I thought I was invisible.
Yeah.
And I didn't think, oh, I'm not going to get pregnant. So...
Wow. So when you did, it was there a shock to that? Or was the guy helpful and loving to you that
he
you got
was,
pregnant with? Was he?
He was.
So you had that support.
He was, yes.
Because a lot of girls, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
He says, see ya.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of support.
I did, and from my family as well, so.
And you'd already graduated high school.
Yes.
So that took care of your goal to go to college, for sure. Then what did you do? Just decide to be a full-time mom, or did you continue with some goals?
I did. At first, when I got pregnant, I thought my life was just about over,
mm-hmm.
that motherhood was going to consume me for the rest, mm-hmm. you know, of my adult life, at least until my child got 18.
No, when they're 99, yeah. you'll quit worrying about them.
And so I think, you know, after having the baby and, you know, my mom being encouraging, you know, as she was, and my family being as supportive as they were, you know, she told me that that's not the end of my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have to necessarily give up all my goals and dreams. Some of them may be delayed, but I still could go to college. So when my daughter, I think, was almost one, I started at Ivy Tech and started taking some courses.
So you moved, you kept going.
I kept
with
going.
What you
and,
wanted to do.
And that's one thing that you know, my mom told me was that you have to keep moving.
Good for
you know,
your mom.
Even when there are stumbling blocks, you
Absolutely.
Have to keep going. And so that's one thing that I did. I'm so thankful.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know,
she was still
her.
Your cheerleader.
She was. And she still is.
Yeah.
So.
She's a lot of people's. And you are now other people's cheerleaders,
yes.
too, how you
I
pass
try
it
to
on.
Be.
Gosh. Well, don't go away, Tri-State. We're just getting started talking to Shatika. We're going to take a little commercial break. If you want to call, 424-1400. We're going to come back and talk more to Shatika and just about what she does now and kind of her beliefs and ideas about the world today. So we'll see you and hear from you back in a minute.
Hey, you. Yeah, you're listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
Every day, people help develop new medications by participating in clinical research studies. Have you ever wondered who these people are? They're neighbors, friends, classmates, people just like you. Join them in helping others by participating in a clinical research study. Covance needs healthy, smoking, and non-smoking men and women aged 20 to 50 to participate in a clinical research study of an investigational medication. One stay of 48 hours is required. Receive up to $500 if you complete the study. Call 866-913-4434 or visit testswiththebest.com for details. Once again, Covance needs healthy, smoking, and non-smoking men and women aged 20 to 50 to participate in a clinical research study of an investigational medication. Call 866-913-4434 or visit testswiththebest.com for details. To all participants, past, present, and future, Covance would just like to say thank you.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Shatika from good old Evansville, Indiana, and the Vandenberg County Substance Abuse Council, and we were just talking about her life and some of the things that have shaped her. We're rocking and rolling. We're really enjoying having a talk with each other, and she mentioned earlier, as you all probably heard about, just role modeling, and when she became a mother, it changed. Suddenly, she realized that she had to, everything she did was going to be watched by her baby. So we're going to talk a little more about that now, her and being a mom and how that shaped her and the decision she's made, and then her job at the Vandenberg County Substance Abuse Council, where she's still role modeling only for the community. Shatika, we were talking about, you know, once you became a mother, everything changed for you. Did you stop drinking at that point and using other drugs?
I did, because I had went to the doctor, and of course they had all the pamphlets about the effects that drugs and alcohol, you know, can have on your baby. And so I wanted to make sure that my daughter was as healthy as possible. And I began doing, you know, taking my vitamins and, you know, trying to eat right and that kind of thing. So definitely the alcohol use, everything stopped.
So you probably, thank God, weren't at that point progressed into alcoholism. You were probably a heavy drinker, but once you got pregnant, you were able to quit and have stayed quit.
Yes.
Or went
and
back to social drinking.
I would say it was more social drinking.
Age-appropriate culture.
Yes. The binge drinking.
Yes.
You know, where just on the weekends or, you know, when you're together with your friends, you'll, you know, consume five or more drinks,
right,
you know, in that setting. So.
So here you are. You jumped. You went through that and grew a lot, and then went into the Vandenberg County Substance Abuse Council. And I know you've done so many programs around this community to help people. We were talking ahead of time also about some of the stuff you've learned about the tolerance level of different cultures and the stuff they put up with in their own drinking or drug homes. Tell us a little about that. That's so interesting.
One of the things that I've learned is that the African-American culture, we tend to have a high tolerance level of pain, and a high tolerance of dealing with different things. And so it's a proven fact that African Americans are more likely to stay in addiction, to stay in the abuse of whatever their choice of drug is or alcohol before they reach out to get help.
Why do you think that is? I mean, I know they go to their ministers, but
I think it's about perception, and how people perceive what addiction is. And then also if they feel that they can manage it and deal with it on their own, then they will try to do that.
If they're functional,
if they're able to still go to work, if they're able to still manage the family, take care of home, go to church even on Sunday mornings, then they feel like it's manageable. They can handle it and they can deal with it. And I think that's the high tolerance of the pain, the high tolerance of dealing with the addiction.
Yeah, because you're right. It's incredible how many years an alcoholic or addict and their family can live in that mess of denial.
Yes.
So in your job at the Substance Abuse Council, is one of your goals now a plastic surgeon in a way, helping fix those pieces of a person that need fixed? It may not be a nose or eyes or lips, but an alcohol problem, a cocaine problem, meth problem, pill problem?
I would definitely say yes, because as program director, you know, one of my responsibilities is to provide activities, initiatives in Vandenberg County, you know, work with different nonprofit agencies, for-profit agencies, to provide education and resources for substance abuse. And, you know, my hope and my prayer is that through some of the things that we offer and we provide, that we can, per se, fix, you know, faces,
the faces of addiction. Absolutely.
And, you know, if we can prevent it before it becomes a problem.
Isn't that the truth? Give people the right words to...
Yes.
Oh, we got a caller. Hi, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just tuning into your program, and it sounds very interesting, but I have a question. How do the family members or the friends or loved ones deal with a person that is probably in denial as an alcoholic, meaning a functional alcoholic?
Mm-hmm. Great question. Hold on, let me see what Shatika thinks, then I'll give you my two cents.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I would definitely say provide the support. You can't make anyone go into treatment for anything, but you just provide the support for that family member. You can't enable their use or excuse it, but you can definitely, you know, I would say on a time, you know, when they are not using, try to have a conversation with that person that's, you know, non-threatening, non-judgmental, just to let them know that you feel there's, you know, concern there, that you are concerned about them. But there are definitely various programs in Vandenberg County that can help them.
And help you as a family learn
yes.
how to address that. How old's the person? Are you still there? Oh. Well, you talked about the term enabling, Shatika. What does that mean? Because I think parents... Oh, are you back? Caller?
Yes, I am. I got disconnected.
Oh, okay. Well, we were wondering how old the person is that you would be concerned about.
In the 50s.
Oh, my. Just a young guy.
Yes.
Oh, my. Well, did you hear Shatika talk about enabling?
No.
You didn't
no,
get to hear? Oh, well, we'll repeat it just for you.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay, go ahead, Shatika, a 50-year-old.
I would say that, you know, you can't force the person into treatment, but given the opportunity that's non-threatening, non-judgmental, let them, you know, especially if it's a family member, let them know that you're concerned about their behavior, about the drinking, and then offer them your support, your love, and let them know that you're there for them. But you... What I said about enabling, you can't excuse their behavior,
right.
especially if you know that it's, you know, destructive to them or to anyone else. And, you know, that would include either purchasing for them, lending them the money.
Calling in work for them,
Or making any other excuses for, you know, appointments or anything else, you know, that they've got going on. So.
There's a program called Al-Anon also that's all over the world for family members and spouses that have somebody they love that has alcoholism. You could also go to some open Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and find out just from other recovering alcoholics, you know, how you can address it. That is the toughest call. Because you didn't cause it, you can't cure it, and you can't control it, the three C's. And it can make a family just feel crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah. But okay. But like Shatika said, you can be compassionate and loving, but you can also be firm and say, we're not going to live like this anymore. And line up your resources. You can call the Vandenberg County Substance Abuse Council at 422-0626, and they can let you know lots of places you can go as a family to learn how to do an intervention and also learn how to accept that you can't cure it.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. That's a heartache, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Somebody that you love so dearly that you watch destroy themselves. There's nothing harder. But there is hope, and there is help. But you got to go in there not lecturing anymore.
Yes.
Right? You got to let them know you've checked some resources out, and here's where he's going.
Yes.
Well, if I could say, I think what happens is the denial and also the embarrassment.
Sure.
The reason that a person doesn't want to get help.
Yes.
But let them know, too, that there is a stigma sometimes when you do go through treatment services, but... You know, when he has had his days of sobriety, that, you know, that's a point in time to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a time, you know, where he can celebrate his accomplishment. And also, you know, the fact that he's still living, you know,
right.
that's something to be grateful for. So, yes, like she
and
said,
there's
don't
like,
give up.
Yeah, don't give up. And there's people in AA that are of his profession. There's everything from Park Avenue to Park Bench. In AA or in most treatment programs, so that humiliation is just keeping him in denial.
Right.
The embarrassment. But let me tell you, you'd be surprised who you'd see
yes.
and who he'd see. So
One more quick question. The other thing that's hard to understand is that they think they can drink and then if they can stop for or cut back for 15 weeks that I'm not an alcoholic.
Right.
And I don't...
Yeah, and you'll hear that a lot from them, too. Well, I quit for 3 years when your
right.
kid was four, And what you got to do is redirect them back into the here and now. That was great then, Dad. Wonderful. And you know, we were all really happy that you were able to just drink socially during that period. But right now, it's a problem again, and it's creating problems.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Stay in the here and now.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye. Shatika, you guys are going to have some resources available for people that need to find help.
Yes, we will. We are in the process of revising our treatment resource guide, which has quite a few treatment resources for Vandenberg County, but also the local tri-state area, inpatient, outpatient treatment. We'll also have, you know, the information on whether or not they accept, what insurance they accept, if they have sliding scales, different things like that, and also, you know, their process, you know, to get into their
Great.
Services.
In the young community, and I think the African-American community, people won't even pick up the phone because they think we don't have money for treatment.
So but there are services out there that are on sliding scales, and then there might even be some services, you know, that that could work around that.
I just really hear the phone again. Is somebody calling in again? Caller, are you there? So the money thing comes up a lot. I know I hear that too.
Mm-hmm.
You do too?
Yes, yes.
The fear they won't have enough money.
And I know that we do have the access to recovery grants.
Oh, yeah,
here,
the access to recovery. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I had a question. My father is an alcoholic, but he's not admitting that he is.
Right.
How long does it take before it starts to do damage to your body? I've noticed that I'm in the medical field, but I've noticed that he has liver spots now.
Wow.
He looks like he's gained just weight over time I've seen him. And he doesn't have the best physician in the world because he has a physician that, I guess, just wants his payment and does not, you know, tell him about
the alcoholism.
Alcohol. Yeah, he's just like, okay, you know, and I don't think his doctor's helping.
Have you talked to the doctor?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes, I have, but, you know, they're only going to tell you so much, and they're,
yeah.
You know, I guess he can't do any, I mean, I don't blame the doctor.
Well, your dad's probably not.
I mean.
Yeah, your dad's probably not real honest with the doctor, but
no,
really, yeah.
I brought that to his attention, but I just don't want him to go out. I love him. Our
sure.
relationship is strained, but I love him, and I have tried everything I can do, and I just didn't know how long does alcohol, he's been drinking for a long time, and it's very hard liquor, and he drinks a lot. How long does it take before it's going to start to have health issues with his body?
You know what, I think you already know the answer to that, because you're in the medical profession that's already affecting his kidneys, his lungs, his heart, his blood pressure, his brain, his memory, his heart. It's already there. When's it going
to
debilitate?
I hear somebody else say it because I knew it, but just
yeah.
to clarify for myself.
You know, isn't it amazing? Alcohol's legal, and it kills
more people.
Yeah, and it goes to every one of your major organs. It's a liquid. It goes everywhere in your body.
Well, I know he's got, and he's one of these men that you can't tell anything.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it all, you know, and he's not an alcoholic. I mean,
of course not.
That, you know, but he is.
Well, Chatika and I were just talking, too, about sometimes that word alcoholic turns people off, especially from that generation, because they have such a bad stigma of what an... Maybe you could say to him, Dad, I love you. Alcohol's creating problems for you. Don't even use the word alcoholic.
Yeah, but he's also in a relationship with a woman that, to me, is an enabler.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has strained our relationship to where I can't talk to him. And me and I have a sister. We have talked until we're blue in the face
sure.
about, you know, you're going to go out and butcher up a family. You're going to go out and kill yourself. And
and
it's just a sticky situation. And I believe she's an enabler. And I believe that she, I don't know what her angle is, but since we can't get to him to really, because she's in the middle, since we can't get to him, I'm just noticing that it's beginning to play havoc on his health. And I guess I just wanted to see if you knew of a timetable, if it already has with the swelling, and I know that.
Mm-hmm. And if his doctor's not addressing it, Wow. There's not a lot.
Because he's not going to want to change doctors because
right,
his doctor
right.
lets him get away with it. And he's probably, and I know he's telling this doctor that he's a social drinker. Well, he's
sure.
not.
Well, again, that's where Shatika and I both probably hear more family members crying out for help before the alcoholic addict can do it. They're Al-Anon, Families Anonymous, open AA meetings are helpful. Shatika, are there other agencies in town families can go just to get help for themselves?
I'm sure, yes.
Counseling or?
Yes.
Because you know what? You deserve to have some peace as his daughter about
yeah,
this, too.
I've done all I can do,
sure.
and I don't want to say that I've given up.
No.
I can't. If he's not going to work with me, then I can't help him.
That's right.
And the other person in his life, I mean, and, you know, and when they do that, they wipe their hands of the people that
that's
love
true.
Him.
Yeah, oh,
so,
my.
And that's what he's done. And
that's
so I can't
painful.
Help him.
Yeah, it's painful.
And I guess I just didn't know if there was any other options. Have I left something unturned?
If you can't get to the doctor, if you can't get to his partner.
Yeah, the partner's out of the question. She's half the problem.
Gee, Zooey. Well, you and your sister rally together and go to an Al-Anon meeting and share with some others. Maybe you can help some others that are in that situation.
Yeah, I have somebody that told me that they're really good.
They are. They're awesome.
I'm going to have to do because I have to go on with my life and I can't. I don't want to say I can't worry about it, but he's got to make his own decisions. And
that's
if he doesn't
right.
think he has a problem, we can't help him.
Well, you don't have to abandon with disgust, but you can detach with love. And it
yeah,
sounds like that's where you are.
I think that's where we are.
Well, good luck. Maybe Shatika and I will see you at some meetings or come around, introduce yourself to us. There's a bunch of us out there that love somebody we just can't seem to wrap our arms around and get them well. So
yeah,
you are not alone. Thank you
okay,
so much
thank
for
you.
Calling. Thank
uh-huh,
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Do you get that a lot, these family members that's kids are using and their spouses?
Most of the time. Well, in our situation, it's a lot of parents
mm-hmm.
with their kids.
Right.
So, you know, we can refer them out. But then when it is, you know, the older
kid,
you know, you can't make them go.
No.
That's
frustrating, painful. Well, Shatika, thank you for coming to Radio Rehab. We've just gotten started. What great calls we've gotten. People just want help, don't they?
They do. They do.
So tell us how to get a hold of you if people have questions.
If you have questions about programs, services, or anything, you can call me 422-0626. We work with a lot of nonprofit agencies in the community, a lot of organizations, for-profit, non-for-profit. You know, we are trying to expand our reach. And that's really more of our goal is to work with those agencies that provide the services. But we definitely would like to saturate the community with the treatment resource guide so that everyone has that information.
Good.
And then they can make better decisions of, you know, what treatment services is best suited for them.
Yeah, and maybe even the ministers then can have those and say to their parishioners, here,
yes.
go here. I don't know what to do about that. We'll pray for you, but you need to go here to get yourself.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So we'll provide
cool.
those free of charge.
All
so.
Right.
Yes.
Go Substance Abuse Counsel. And Shatika, thanks Radio Rehab for tuning in. Shatika will be back. We'll talk more about this. It's something we definitely need to keep having discussions about. But until we talk to you next week, don't forget to do the next right thing.